Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The Troublemaker. How Jimmy Lai became a billionaire, Hong Kong's greatest dissident, and China's most feared critic. I welcome the author and publisher and editor, Mark Clifford, who takes us into the world of China during and right after the revolution and the birth of a man we now remember as Jimmy Lai. At the time, he's born in the Pearl River Basin. You've heard of that often because that is the centerpiece of China's transformation from a desperately poor, ripped-apart country at the end of the Second War to the miracle of these last decades, and now the troubled land once again. I congratulate you, Mark. This is a story that is a one-man story, but it's also the story of a transformation of a whole culture from starvation and desperation to the right now what we see is a civil rights catastrophe. But there is another day here in the 21st century. Jimmy Lai is born, I believe I have the date right, sometime in 1948, which means...
We think it was probably 47. He doesn't really know. Is, you know, even the government documents are kind of all over the place. But yeah, he was born a year or two before Mao took power in China after, as you say, after World War II, and then the culmination of the Chinese Civil War that saw the communist triumph and send the nationalist KMT packing to Taiwan.
The important scene for me early in your book is that Dad is leaving forever. And he picks Jimmy up and says, you're destined for great things. Who is Dad? Why is he leaving? And who's Jimmy's mother at that moment? Good evening to you.
Yeah. Well, anyway, thanks so much for your interest, John. It's great to be on the show. Jimmy's dad had married into a prosperous shipping family in, as you say, Pearl River Delta near what we used to call Canton, Guangzhou. And family was so wealthy that the grandfather, Jimmy's father's father-in-law, was reputed to have the first Rolls Royce in the province. But come the revolution, things took a sour turn. The first wife from the shipping family had died. Jimmy's mother was brought in actually to bear more children for the family, frankly. Jimmy and his twin sister were the end of the line. The mother gave birth to several children and took care of it. The first wife's children. So it was a precarious position made much worse with the communist revolution. The family's house was seized by the communists, and things were so bad that the dad left for Hong Kong. In fact, both parents had permission to leave for Hong Kong, but only on condition that they left their children behind. And not surprisingly, the mother didn't like that deal, stayed with her kids. She'd been a peasant, but was sent to labor camps, leaving Jimmy and his twin sister and another sister who was a couple years older to fend for themselves at the age of 4 or 6 years old. Just an incredible saga. And so Jimmy's a primary school dropout, small-time hustler, almost a junior hoodlum when he was of primary school age. But he scrapped, he survived, he picked up you know, old cigarettes and re-rolled them and used the tobacco. If he found a field mouse and was able to grill it, he was delighted. There was so little food. I mean, it was really a lousy time in China.
There are parallel worlds here. We're talking about one particular child who's now nearly 70. He's 76 or 77 years old. My accounting can be very vague. However, at the time, Jimmy's living inside what we know now to be a famine that strikes all of China, but particularly the parts that don't have access, don't have privilege. Jimmy remembers food brilliantly throughout his life, and you've solved something about where it comes from. What was the famine like for him? What does he remember, Mark?
Well, interestingly, he never talked about it as a famine. He just talked about it as being hungry all the time. If you're a 6 or 8 year old kid, you don't know that Mao has these ruinous policies that are killing something on the order of 45 million. Think about that. 45 million people dying in a man-made famine. You're 6 or 8 years old. All you know is you're hungry. Your mom's in and out of these labor camps. She can come home sometime on weekends. You know, she saves some burned rice from the pot to try to bring it home and feed her kids. I mean, there is nothing to eat. And as I said, he's a kind of a junior hoodlum. He's stealing scrap metal and selling it, working as a porter in the Canton, the Guangzhou railway station. And a guy one day gives him a little tip, and then he turns away, and then he turns back and he gives him a half-eaten chocolate bar. And Jimmy's a little abashed. He's starving, but he doesn't want to just gobble this thing up in front of the guy. So he turns away a little bit and nibbles at this strange item. And almost his head explodes. And he turns around to the guy and he goes, "What is this?" He goes, "Chocolate." He goes, "Where are you from?" "Hong Kong." "Wow, Hong Kong must be the land of chocolate." And he decides he wants to go there. And about a year and a half later, his mother finally gives him permission to go. And it really puzzled me for a long time. What mother would let a 12-year-old kid basically become an illegal immigrant, you know, leave? Probably she's never going to see him again, even if he makes it. And I realized it's the hunger. And people are dying all around. And she realized her son was probably going to die if he didn't take some risks. And in fact, he made it. His twin sister swam across the last bit to Hong Kong to enter as an illegal immigrant a few years later. The family was on the run like a million and a half others who had flooded into Hong Kong at that time.
A curiosity, Mark. Did he speak well of the railroad, knowing that it ended in Hong Kong, that every day he would see the trains go to Hong Kong?
Well, I think that's an interesting question. This was a colonial era project, and it's one that was the only link between Hong Kong and China. I never heard him talk about it a lot, but I do know that his wife, Teresa, used to go visit his mother. He was able to establish contacts with her. So, you know, the railroad was just a key link. It was pretty much the only link between Guangzhou and Hong Kong, you know, at a time when China had sealed itself off from the world. And the only people who could get out were not doing it. You know, Jimmy did have a one-way exit permit, but most people didn't.
It is 1960-61. The famine is still extant. And China is not in any fashion organized. And there's Jimmy in Hong Kong, in the New Territories, living in a shack with his aunt and her family. And he is lucky enough to figure out that there's work for him in the factories.
Yeah. Well, so he got this one-way permit into Macau, which was the Portuguese colony on the western edge of the Pearl River Delta. But he wanted to get to the promised land, the land of chocolate, Hong Kong. So he got passage on a smuggling boat, which was run by what they call snakeheads, people smugglers. And they made he described it differently at different times. 40, 60, 80 people stowed below deck in this what looked like a fishing boat, having to evade the British Royal Navy, which was trying to keep the flood of refugees out of Hong Kong. They make it to Hong Kong, arduous crossing, overnight crossing, I believe. Everybody's vomiting. They get dumped out into the New Territories, as you say. The snakehead takes him to his aunt and uncle's house. This is his mother's sister. The place is actually so small. I mean, they're delighted to see him. The place is so small, there's not even room for him to sleep on the floor. So the aunt, they take him to a meal. And she finds a factory for him to sleep in. And he sleeps, spends the first night on a table in the factory. They hire him to do odd jobs. He's 12 and a half years old at this point. He's a kid. He's, you know, just it's just an unbelievable story. And 15 years later, he owns a factory that quickly becomes the largest sweater maker in Hong Kong. So to your point, first thing about freedom, this is Jimmy's story is a story about freedom. First was food. He wakes up that first morning. There's a smell of congee, rice porridge, just everywhere. It's a steamy, humid, rich, sweet smell. There was food all around Hong Kong. He couldn't believe it. So this was the first bit of freedom. But there was the freedom to work. So to your point, Jimmy, he lost his hearing in one ear. He did lose the tip of a finger working in the factory. But he never talked about, you know, factory, you know, being a childhood laborer or something like that. Work was freedom for him. Earning his own money was freedom. All these things that he couldn't do in China, eat, make his own way, you know, survive and get ahead with his wits and his charm and his unbelievable intelligence. And so, yeah, it was not a story of oppression. It was a story of liberation.
The book is The Troublemaker. Mark Clifford is the author. How Jimmy Lai became a billionaire. We're about to make him one. Hong Kong's greatest dissident and China's most feared critic. I'm John Batchelor.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn. And you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.